Radio friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, our text will be found in John 14:26. These words of Jesus: "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Those words of Jesus Christ were spoken in his farewell message to the 11. He was telling them, the eve of the cross, that he was going to go away. He was going to go to his Father through his death on the cross and resurrection and ascension into heaven. But he assures them that this will be okay, because he will send in his place the Holy Spirit. In fact, so precious and so valuable does Jesus see the coming of the Holy Spirit that, as we read those chapters, John 14:15-16, it becomes very plain that he considers it better that the Holy Spirit were to come than if he were to stay with us in the flesh. For instance, John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." He says, you must not think that because I will ascend up into heaven that you are left lonely and in the lurch, and you can only hope to see me one day in heaven, that you are left as poor sheep in the wilderness. But before I go, I want to give you a soothing promise. I will send you another Comforter, one who will be all that I have been to you and more. One who will console you in all of your sorrows, comfort you in your trials, strengthen you in your temptations. One who will seal you by his power to the day of redemption, and one who will do all in you what I would have done had I tarried among you. That's the gospel that we proclaim today on this Pentecost Sunday, the day in which the church rejoices in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 50 days after Jesus arose from the dead, 10 days after he ascended into heaven, according to the promise that he left, Jesus Christ poured out the Holy Spirit upon the church. And that's the great thing in Christianity. The great thing is the gift of the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to open our hearts, to believe and to know all the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I will send the Comforter to you, the Holy Spirit, whose work will be to bring to your remembrance all that I have ever said to you." Now let's ask a question. Exactly who is the one who comes to us in the gift of Pentecost? Well, we know it's the Holy Spirit, but Jesus refers to him as the Comforter. We read, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." Jesus says to us that God the Father will send to us the Holy Spirit in the authority of Jesus Christ, in order that the Holy Spirit might be ours in our heart. Now, this certainly teaches us that salvation is entirely the work of God. It was God who planned and prepared our salvation in his decree of eternity. Jesus was aware of this. John chapter 10, he spoke of the fact that my Father gave me the sheep, and that for those sheep, chosen of the Father, he would lay down his life. He would tell his disciples again, "Ye have not chosen me," John chapter 15, "but I have chosen you." The Father determined who would be saved, but the Father also sent his Son to secure that salvation. Jesus knew that too. John 6, "I came down not to do my own will, but the will of my Father who has sent me." And what was the will of the Father? The will of the Father was that he would not spare his own Son, but deliver him up for us all. Romans chapter 8. And now God, having planned in eternity our salvation, God having accomplished that salvation in the gift of his Son, Now, what is God's provision for us today, we who are on earth? God's provision is this. He will send the Comforter. The Comforter will be sent to us, the Holy Spirit, to abide in our hearts. That's the great blessing of God. He comes in the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, the Father will send him. It's all of the Father, it's all of God, but he will send him in my name, and in my name means in my authority. He will come in the authority of the risen Jesus Christ, the great authority of his salvation. The Holy Spirit, then, is not merely an influence. He is not merely a motivator, but he comes to us in all the royal power and great authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is endowed, he is filled with the salvation of Christ, and he comes in Christ's name to apply that salvation. So to speak, Christ says, I know my sheep for whom I have died. And now, upon my authority as the risen Savior of those sheep, I give the Holy Spirit, and he shall enter them and comfort them. And comfort them by bringing my salvation to them. Christ then sent to us the Holy Spirit enriched with all of his salvation. The Holy Spirit to take that salvation and by great grace of God to work it in the hearts of believers. That's the truth of salvation. The truth of salvation is that whenever it takes place, it is the great work of the Holy Spirit sent by Christ into the hearts of those given to him of the Father and for whom he died to apply to their hearts that salvation. And that's a glorious thing. The Holy Spirit fills us and strengthens us with salvation. How have God's people been made fearless to confess the name of Jesus Christ before those who threaten to kill them and burn them upon a stake? Through the Holy Spirit. How is it possible that you as a young man run the gauntlet of mockery in a college or in a public high school when all are mocking you for your faith in Jesus Christ? How is that possible? Through the Holy Spirit. How is it possible for a widow with three young children to find comfort and strength to go on? Through the Holy Spirit. How is it possible that someone who is smitten with cancer and about to die testifies to the hospital staff and to the nurses who are caring for her of her perfect hope and peace and of her assurance that she shall be saved eternally in her Savior? How's that possible? Through the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said, I will send the Comforter to you. How does a young girl acquire strength to be holy in an evil world in which everyone is looking at her in the way of sin? How is she going to get that strength? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to be in our hearts to bring Christ to us and his salvation into us. And therefore we stand by the strength of God's Holy Spirit. Shall we not praise God? Shall we not praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Let us not stand around today confused, asking the question, Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now what does that mean? Does that mean that we're supposed to have some kind of showy signs in the church, and then we would know that the Holy Spirit is in our hearts? Is that what it means? So we should have some ability to speak in tongues, whatever that is, or ability to heal people, then the Holy Spirit is in us? No, that's not the Word of God. That's a bunch of nonsense. This is the truth. The Holy Spirit's presence and power in the life of the believer is that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, to take the salvation of Christ powerfully and to bring it into my heart so that I stand by faith and I know my Savior, and I remember His words, and I experience the power of those words, and I confess in every situation of life that I am His child. That's the blessing of Pentecost. Jesus emphasized that it would be especially the work of the Holy Spirit to teach us all things, and to bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever He had said to us. The work of the Holy Spirit is teaching, or we could say illumination, to convict us of the truth of God and to bind the truth of Christ to our heart. And so in the Bible, Ephesians 1 verse 7, He is called the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And again, Jesus will emphasize in John 16 this work of the Holy Spirit being the teacher. He will say in John 16, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever things He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come, and He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and show it unto you." Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that there could not be a saving belief of the truth of Jesus Christ without the work of the Holy Spirit. There could be, perhaps, an intellectual understanding of what the Bible is saying. There could even be a scholarly analysis of its content. We could have learned seminars and discussions on Pauline theology and various aspects of the truth. But there could never be humble conviction, overwhelming awe of the truth. There could never be faith in the Holy Scriptures apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's work is to bring saving knowledge to the people of God, to assure us of all that Jesus has spoken to us. That teaches us the truth that by nature you and I are ignorant, willfully so, of spiritual truth. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Our eyes are blinded. We do not want to know God. We deny God. We exalt ourselves before God, and we know nothing as we ought to know it. We see all of life under false colors, and we mock the things of God, and the Word of God of itself would bounce right off our hearts as off a rock. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, He powerfully alters things. He opens the eyes of our understanding. He gives to us a heart to believe. He calls us out of darkness into light. He gives to us the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit opens the heart to understanding. Yes, you are to witness. You are to teach. And you are to speak as a child of God of the wonderful things of your faith. But no amount of your persuasion, no amount of your wisdom, and no amount of your words can write the truth upon the heart of another. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who uses means, for sure. He uses your witness. He uses the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit must do it. The Holy Spirit works through the Holy Scriptures. Jesus said, "He will bring to remembrance whatsoever things I have said unto you." Now, if you would consult 1 Peter 1, verse 11, you would discover that the Bible teaches that the entire Scripture, the 66 books of the Bible, are all written by Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of Christ, who inspired each of the human writers of the Bible. So when Jesus says, "He will bring to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you," He means the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the whole truth of the Scripture. And He means that the Holy Spirit will work through the Scripture. Now, there's a great error that exists in the Christian church today. We speak in love in order that Christians might have the understanding of the Scriptures. That great error is that there is still extra revelation, that God somehow spoke to me through the wind or through the cloud, this and that. Now, Christ tells us that the Holy Spirit does not reveal anything new, but he shall teach you all things I have said to you. That is, he will teach you the truths of the Scriptures. Where is the Holy Spirit then present? In what church? Well, he's present in that church where the Word of God is taken as the yea and amen of God, where the Scripture is honored as the infallible, sufficient, and authoritative Word of God. The Scriptures have been written. God has given to us his Word. Look into them and read. That is the revelation of God. God does not give new revelation from the sky, but he gives the Holy Spirit to give us an understanding of the Word that he has given. The Holy Spirit becomes the lamp in our heart to see the wonderful truth of the Scriptures. He shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He will stir your memory. Remembrance is something more than just mere teaching. Remembrance is to bring back, to recall. Remembrance is when a truth is brought back to your consciousness in such a way that it illumines you and shines upon your pathway and comforts you. You see, we don't carry our Bibles with us necessarily every moment of every day, and we don't spend every moment of every day reading our Bible. We have duties. We have work and school and recreation. We become engaged in these things, in our work. We become filled with struggles. But the Spirit works in our memory. He brings the Scriptures to our minds so that the Scripture speaks to us, so that we might say with Jeremiah in Lamentations 3, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." Or Psalm 77, verse 11, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy works of old." And in this way, the Spirit comforts us. The Spirit works in us in the hours of sadness. He brings to our remembrance the Word of God. Now that means that you have to be taught the Word of God. You have to lay it up in your heart. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring it to our remembrance, so that in your moment of sadness and weariness, you remember the Scriptures. "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" Psalm 27. There are times that we stand in the midst of darkness and heaviness. It's the Holy Spirit who pulls back the veil of heaven and shines into our hearts the truth of Jesus Christ. He also does this in the communion of saints. Very often in your experience and in my experience, it can be sometimes an offhand word from a fellow saint, a word of encouragement or a word of reflection in their own life of what the Word of God has meant to them. Now, they did not know your situation at all. They didn't know what you were going through, but through that communion of the saints, the Spirit ministered to your heart, and you said, "Ah, yes, my soul is blessed by that word." The same Holy Spirit works in all the children of God. Spiritual discussion is so important for believers. Spiritual discussion is not simply when you talk directly about the Bible or you quote to each other a verse of the Bible, but spiritual discussion is when you view your life spiritually and you so talk that you bring the truth into your discussion, into your experiences of the past week, into your struggles. And sometimes even a little child will do this to us. Perhaps you're at the kitchen, you're in your kitchen preparing dinner or doing whatever, and It's written all over your face, Mom, that you are simply discouraged and you're out of it. And then maybe just that 2 or 3 or 4 year old comes up and pulls on your skirt and says, "But Mom, God is in heaven, right? Jesus is our Savior, right? He lifts us up in joy, doesn't he?" And out of the lips of your child, the Holy Spirit comforts you. Comfort. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Comfort through the Scriptures. Are you looking for peace and comfort in your life? Do not go on a vain search. You don't need to climb a mountain in Tibet and sit in the yoga position. You don't need, as a young person, to search and scour over all types of mystical religions and sit down with a learned look on your face and begin to wonder, well, is there such a thing as ultimate truth? We're being taught all these things in college, and is there ultimate truth? That's not the way to find comfort and peace in your heart. You'll never find it there. Here it is. We have the perfect teacher. We have one given to us by the Master, Jesus Christ. He is the one who takes the Holy Scriptures and writes them upon our heart and illumines us so that we may say with the psalmist in Psalm 119, "I have more understanding than all the ancients because I keep thy word." Do you possess the Holy Spirit? Does he do this great work in you? Praise God. Do you know this gift of God to you? Do you fall down in thankfulness to him? And do you reverence the Word of God in your heart and life? Do you say, "Thy Word sheds light upon my path"? Then you have comfort. Then you have the great gift that Jesus died to purchase for you. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit in you, to bring to remembrance all that Jesus ever said. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. We ask for the Holy Spirit to take the word and place it in our hearts through Jesus Christ. Amen.